This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Give the Lord a hand of praise for the Lord's Supper experience. Get your Bibles and stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it is in Jesus' name that we thank you now for the privilege of hearing you through your word. Let the Holy Ghost unfold the text, meet us in the text, tailor the text so that each and every hearer's heart may see the truth in the text and know that you are speaking to us. When we hear, let us practice the principle so that we might profit from it and give you the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. I want to continue our message from this morning, found in Romans chapter 4. And I want to commence reading at verse 20. Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 20, recorded are these words. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. May the Lord bless his word and the doers of his word. For just a little while, I want to talk about the faith look, part two. The faith look, part two. For the benefit of those of you who were not in our earlier service, I just want to give you the three or the trifold look of faith as it relates to the scriptures before us, beginning at verse 13 through 25 of this fourth chapter of Romans, how God had promised a heathen who had become righteous because God credited him for his belief and made him righteous positionally, not because he was religious or righteous of and in himself, but because of his faith in God, because of his belief in God, God credited him. That word imputed, which you will find in the text, and you will find words again like justification, which means just as if he had not done anything wrong, and then righteousness, which speaks of the righteousness of God, which is able to cover us and to bring the blessings of God into our lives. It was all done through faith. And so you're going to realize that Scripture reveals that there was a trifold look of faith by this man called Abraham, who is now the father of faith. He was given a promise, not a promise to those under the law, not to those who were just the Jews or the chosen people of God, but by faith, opening up the promise that was made to all who believe. So that means now we are of the family of faith because of our faithful father, Abraham. We share in the promise and the blessings that he was promised. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus to the promises of God. And so you got to realize that you are somebody in the family of God. You've got to realize how God has opened up this word and given to us the assurance and confidence as rightful heirs to the promises of God, so that we are able to boldly and authoritatively walk in the reality of the promises of God for the believers. Now, the trifold look begins with the first look, which is a look of the past. All of them are faith looks, because you're going to need faith to be able to look past some things in your past that hinder you, that hold you back, that keep you connected to those things that have hurt you, that have harmed you, or that you have hurt or harmed someone else. It keeps you in a place where you are in captivity. Faith has to be strong enough to release you from your past. There are some things that have happened that if you are not by faith able to move past, will keep you in the prison of your past. And so Abraham deals with that because he recognizes, one, his wife was barren, but then secondly, time moved on and her body shut down. She no longer had the reproductive operation functioning and flowing in her to be able to have children. But the Lord promised him and her that they would have a son, and that he would be the father of many nations. Well, now listen, he was looking presently at a bad situation, but he had to realize that when your situation looks bad, the second look is you have to look in. That's the present look, because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And sometimes our problems around us and those things that are outside of us that we visualize and see with the natural eyes keep us from walking, moving, growing, and flowing in the things of God, because we are walking by what we see rather than the faith that God expects us to walk in. What you've got to know is that you are not limited to what's happening now. What you've got to know is that whatever is going on around you will not be going on forever. What you've got to realize is that whatever is set before you is just a test, that you're going to go through that. And in order to go through that, you've got to have faith many times on the inside of you to know that this too shall pass. And so the second look is an inward look at the spiritual nature, at the things that God himself has promised. It is that ability to hook on and hold on to the faith of God. And even when it doesn't look good at the things that surround you, at the things that are going on, at the seemingly time that has passed and the opportunities and the windows that have closed, if God has promised you, the inward look says he's not a man that he should lie. He's going to do just what he said. Hold on to his word. Every day that Abraham looked at himself in the mirror and saw the declining state of his flesh, he saw the growth and development of his faith. When it looked impossible, when it looked like it wasn't going to work, when the naysayers and the haters and everybody around him tried to discourage him, he held on to what God promised. And so the believer's got to be able to hold on to the inward look. That's the second look of faith. You see, you can't look in till you look past. See, because if the devil can keep you looking back, he can keep you from looking in. If you look in, you begin to tap into the things that God wants you to see and that God is responsible for revealing to you. He'll let you see some things in the spirit long before he lets you see the things in the flesh. He'll let you know some things, reveal some things in the spirit before you ever see them manifested in the flesh. He'll let you start your praise party while you're still in prison, while you're in bondage, while you're in captivity, while you're still going through your test and your trial, because the inward look prepares you for the third look, and that's the potential look, that's the future look, that's the forward look. And that's where I want to begin our message today, because it is in this forward look, this potential look. Listen, he is the God who has the ability to speak those things that be not as though they were. This is what the Bible says, verse 17. And as it is written, I have made thee, listen at this, a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth, brings back to life, the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now here's what he does. He says to a man who's barren, has no children, a wife or other who's barren and a man could have no children, you are a father of many nations. He's not talking to Abraham after the fact, because faith doesn't work after the fact. It works before the fact. As a matter of fact, it becomes a fact after faith. Y'all catch that on your way home. And so God says to Abraham and to Sarah, you are a father and a mother of many nations while she was still barren and without the ability to reproduce. But here's what you've got to realize. God said it, not them. You know, one of the wonderful things that I love about the Lord is we serve a big God, a mighty God. A God who can do far more, I mean, than we could even ask or think, exceedingly abundantly more. Can he do what we can't even imagine? So my question to you is, why do you hold him to do such small things? See, God specializes in the impossible. So you need to start having some impossible thoughts. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. See, most of your thoughts are possible thoughts. They're things you know that can happen. But you ought to start thinking on the level of the God who operates in the impossibilities and start thinking some thoughts outside the realm of possibility and inside the realm of impossibility. When you say a thing, you need folk to say, that's impossible. And then you say to them, what's impossible with man is possible with God. To believe that we've got some impossible thinkers in the faith of God who's going to see God do the impossible, because that's where their faith level is. God says to Abraham, you're the father of many nations. I ain't got no children. But listen at this. He did what mama told me a long time ago to do. Consider the source. And you can believe it depends on who said it. If the Lord said it, this is what I love about him. Because he's not a man that he should lie. In other words, he don't have a reason to lie. Matter of fact, let me take it to another level. He cannot lie. Because whatever comes out of his mouth, the record is it won't return void. So if he said it, that settles it, because the Holy Ghost is going to make that thing happen. I wish I had a witness in the house. So the people of God have to take this illustration and make it personal, purposefully. Listen, you got to realize this isn't just about Abraham. This is not just about an impossibility in the life of Abraham. He's the father of faith and the faithful. And so we must recognize that his experience is an example for the believers, for his children. He's given us a demonstration to realize and to recognize that the promises of God are sure. They are going to happen if God said them. See, all you've got to be careful about is to make sure where you heard it. I don't want you to hear it through the grapevine. See, some of y'all can't shout right now because you heard it through the grapevine. Just about to lose your mind. See, but when you hear it through the word, you ain't gonna lose your mind. Because whatever goes on around you can't compare to what's going on the inside of you. And because the promises of God are sure, he'll even let the devil think that he's got the hand up. And it's one thing to have one hand. It's a whole nother hand to have two hands up. And so God gives us the final victory, because Joseph records that what they meant for evil, God meant it for good. And so you've got to realize, my brothers and sisters, that Abraham believed God. And because he believed God, an impossibility became a possibility simply because of his faith. Now, here's what you need to know, that he recognized. He didn't have to do it. I said he didn't have to do it. So when you face your possibilities and then your impossibilities, you recognize that the reason why the possibilities, God leaves them up to you, is because those are things you know you can do. You know you can accomplish. You know that you can get through in the physical and the natural. But then when you start thinking outside of the realm of possibility and inside the realm of impossibility, then you know that's an arena reserved for God. And I got to tell you, he specializes. Every time God steps in the arena of impossibilities and the spectators all around the arena are wondering, can he do it? There's a believer that said he's done it once. I've got no doubt he can do it again. And if he's done this, he can do that. And if he's done that, and somebody will shout out when somebody said, well, this has never been done before. Somebody will shout out, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I'm glad there are some spectators in the arena of the impossibilities who know that when God steps in the arena, it's as good as done. Listen at this, because I want you to hear Abraham and those things concerning him. The Bible says, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise, which is the word of God. Listen, through unbelief. Do you know unbelief causes you to stagger? You can be walking good and you believe God, but you see something. Oh no, God, you didn't tell me it was going to be like this. And then unbelief starts to creep in. And then when unbelief starts to creep in, you're no longer walking, but you walk over and stagger over your own unbelief. Because what happens is the flesh starts interfering with the faith. The flesh starts saying, it can't happen. Now look at this. Look at that. Look at what has happened. And so we stagger then, listen, at the promise through unbelief, because of what we see or what we feel or what's been said. He staggered not at the promise of God, listen, through unbelief. But look at this now, the other view, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Can I help you to understand what your faith needs? It needs a helper. Your faith needs an encourager. Every now and then, while you're waiting on God, let your faith extend itself beyond what it's looking for and waiting on to the place where it's already done. And when you get your faith into the arena where it's already done, then you can't help yourself from giving God the glory. In other words, let your faith start previewing what you're on your way to. And when your faith starts filling up on what the end is going to be, before you know it, you start moaning. And from a moaning, you start humming. And from a humming, you start singing. From a singing, you start shouting. From a shouting, they're going to have to hold your mule, because you're going to lose your mind.
in the glory of God, because you know nobody but God can do something as great, grand, and glorious as what he's getting ready to do in your life. You see, but if you don't learn how to give him glory while you're waiting on him, unbelief starts saying, well, it's been a long time now. I know he told you this many years ago, many months ago. I know he told you and you thought that it was going to happen on this day and it didn't happen. Now you've gotten discouraged, and because you're discouraged, you're believing that maybe you missed God. Maybe God has changed his mind. Maybe he's not going to do what he said. But the devil is a liar. God promises. And I want you to see in Scripture what happens when he promises. Sit down, because I don't want you to miss nothing here. Listen. This word is so rich, because while he was giving glory to God, the Bible says in verse 21, and being fully persuaded. That means he has blocked and locked out doubt and disbelief. Ain't no room in here for doubt. Ain't no room in here for disbelief. Because I am filled up to the brim with faith. And where there is faith, fear can't come in. Doubt can't come in. Disbelief can't come in. Discouragement can't come in when I am full of faith. Fully means there is no room nor reservation. Which means, listen, if it's full to the top, it ain't no room now, and it ain't no room later. Fully means I'm operating as if this thing has already happened. Fully means I'm just waiting on the manifestation, but because I know it's coming, I've already started the celebration. Listen, and God is too honorable of a God to take thanks for something he don't do. Y'all didn't hear me here. I said, God is too honorable of a God to receive your thanksgiving, to receive your praise for something he has not done. So you obligate God when you tell him thank you in advance. You obligate God when you say, I don't have to wait till the battle is over to give you your praise. You obligate God when you get up in the morning and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in spite of I've lost my job. I will rejoice in spite of the fact that they're foreclosing on my home. I will rejoice in spite of my loved one walking out on me. I will rejoice in spite of my children acting crazy. I will rejoice in spite of the hellions on my job. I will rejoice in spite of the sickness in my body. I will rejoice even though my check says NSF. I will rejoice and be glad and be glad. It's an act of my will and not how I feel. Somebody say, be glad. Be glad. Why should I be glad? Because I know how the story is gonna end. And I wanna tell somebody, if where you are right now doesn't look like the end of your story, tell them it's not over yet. I don't believe you got that. I said, no matter where you are, what it looks like in your life, if the end doesn't look like where you are now, you keep on believing, you keep on receiving, you keep on holding on, you hang on in there, because the best, it's on the way. Your praise hastens its coming. Your glory hastens its coming. Lift up holy hands, tell him thank you. thank you. Thank you. If I couldn't say a word. Woo! If I could not say a word. Thank you. Thank you. You might need to tell somebody, excuse me. They're looking at you. They don't know why you're doing it. I was on the plane the other day. I looked down the runway. I saw a man with two lights. He was guiding it on in. Somebody needs to God show blessing. Woo! Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory. Try to finish this message at the next service. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Glory. The doors of the church are open. Somebody here today. Glory to God, glory to God. Somebody hit it.